Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Locker Room. I'm your host, Tommy Tellerino, and alongside me today is the one and only, the happiest man alive probably right now after Thursday night, Jordan Navarro. Jordan, oh my God. The Yankees move to the ALCS, Chicago beats Miami in their home opener, and now, to top it all off, the San Francisco 49ers got the muscle hamster himself, Christian McCaffrey.
Tommy, everything's coming up my way this week. Well, the Yankees are down two in the ALCS, but it's football season now, guys. Yeah, I definitely don't care about that at all anymore. Yeah, I'm having a great day, Tommy. I woke up happy. Me and my brother Nate, we had a lengthy conversation about the trade, how we feel, how it's making us both extremely happy. And, you know, today's off to a great start. How about you, Tommy? How's your day going?
You know, I'm off to a great start as well. It's just I had one class today, so nothing too hard. Just a normal Friday for me, really. But I'm glad to see you. My day is better now, getting to see you.
Oh, that makes my heart warm. Thank you.
Good. But speaking of Thursday night, before we get into this Thursday night football game, 49ers offense, adding Christian McCaffrey, how big is that for him?
I mean, listen, Jimmy Garoppolo can't throw the football down the field. He no longer has to. The way you beat us in years past, you stack the middle of the field, put as many bodies in the middle, because that's where Jimmy likes to throw it. Can't do that anymore. Your linebacker has to account for Christian McCaffrey coming out of the backfield. That's one less body in the middle. Jimmy is really good at throwing the ball over the middle of the field. That helps us a lot. And he's an elite-level runner, and he's going to help our running back room a lot, especially, you know, given the health of the room right now and him being healthy and being good. I mean, it's phenomenal. And Elijah Mitchell, he gets to be a change of pace back, which might be the role that he needs to be in. You know, he might not be built for the lead back role, but he can come in and give us a quick jolt as the RB2 in this offense. So I think it's phenomenal. I think it helps us tremendously. I don't really know how you guard us anymore, especially with Trent Williams coming back. George Kittle no longer has to play left tackle. So I don't, you know, now you got George Kittle back in the pass game.
Yeah, I mean, you got George Kittle in the pass game. You got Debo. You got Ayuk, who had an amazing game against Atlanta, even though the outcome wasn't what you guys wanted to. You got CMC in the backfield now, who has had a thousand season. Imagine what he can do in the Shanahan offense.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. It was built for him. And you got Jimmy G checkdowns, and the G stands for game manager. I mean, he's the greatest game manager there is.
Better than Brissett?
He's went to a Super Bowl.
That's true.
Him and Trent Dilfer, I mean, he didn't win one, but hey.
Hey, Jimmy G won some. He won some.
Well, okay, all right. He won some.
But he still won some.
As a starter, he does not have a ring.
There you go. You just need some clarification right there. But honestly, I thought you guys didn't give up that much for him. Would you give up a third, fourth, and a fifth?
So we gave up 2023 second through fourth and a 2024 fifth, but everything needs to be taken in context. We have a ton of comp picks from our minority coaches and front office members going to different teams. So we've got a bunch of comp thirds. We're still projected to have 7 picks in this draft, not to mention the potential comp pick that you can get for Jimmy signing somewhere else if we decide to go with Trey Lance still, or, you know, whatever. Who knows what's going to happen with our quarterback room. But assuming Jimmy does sign somewhere else, we get a comp third for him. We got some other free agents coming up. D'Amico Ryans could be a head coach. He could get us a comp third. I feel like we're fine. We did give up a lot. There's definitely truth to the media saying, you know, we just spent 2/3 on running backs and back-to-back drafts, and neither of them have turned out to be what we wanted. So that's a bigger issue that needs to be solved first, I agree. But this is not just a running back. I think that's what people need to understand. This is a weapon. It's kind of like Debo. Debo's not just a wide receiver. He is just a weapon, especially with the way Kyle Shanahan uses him. And this opens up our offense in completely new ways that we could have never imagined. And it's weird that, you know, Kyle Shanahan's system, they want to throw the ball down the field, but Kyle Shanahan said, you know, I have Jimmy Garoppolo. I can't do that. So we're just going to make throwing the ball short as effective as possible. And he's just... We're already the Yak brothers, and we just added another one. So
the Yak triplets. I mean,
well, it would be quadruplets. I don't know what.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, Ayuk as well. So
too many to count. Yeah. But I mean, it's like you made this comparison last week with Taysom Hill. It's like, you know, in NCAA, when you're playing the game, you recruit athletes. Taysom Hill's probably the, like, two-star athlete. You guys have, like, five-star athletes right now. I mean, they can just do so much on the field for you. It's going to be interesting to watch. I'm guessing McCaffrey's not suiting up for game one or his first game in San Fran this week.
They said this Sunday he may be in red zone packages, but, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't assume he goes out there and does too much. But he did go to Stanford, and those guys are brainiacs. So who knows? He might learn the whole playbook tomorrow.
You never know. That'd be impressive, not gonna lie.
It would be extremely impressive.
But what else was extremely impressive is we actually had an amazing Thursday night game, in my opinion.
Yeah,
exciting. I mean,
the Red Rifle was keeping both teams in it. He won the Cardinals the game.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong. I mean, this final score ended up being 42-34. Arizona walks away with a win. Andy Dalton, we'll talk about him first since, you know, he was slanging that thing.
Slanging it.
30 for 47, 361 yards, 7.7 average, 4 touchdowns. 3 picks, though, including 2 of them that were pick sixes.
In the final minute of the first half.
Yeah. I mean, you take away those 2 pick sixes, no one might walk away with this game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he did his best Jameis Winston impression. It's like he never got hurt. I don't see the difference in this game. But Kamara didn't do a lot in the run game, I will say. 11 for 47. It's a 4.5 yard average, but I want to say he had one run around 15 yards that brought the average up. But he got it done in the receiving game, 7 for 56. So overall, he's got over 100 yards in scrimmage yards. So you'll take that at any day. And then you got Olave. 7 for 106, 14 targets, 15 yards a catch. I mean, he stepped up big in this game. No Michael Thomas has, I think he missed his third or fourth game in a row. He stepped up. He stepped up in a huge way. I mean, just taking over the wide receiver one position on this team. Traquan Smith, 5 for 59. But other than that, the Saints offense didn't really do much outside of those guys.
Yeah, and Richard Sherman said at halftime, if you're going to have the interceptions, you might as well put Jameis Winston in. And Andy Dalton heard him, I guess. And he went out there, and he was slinging the thing in the first half, and he was slinging that thing in the second half. He showed that he still got something in the tank. I would be hard-pressed to say that he couldn't be a starter in the NFL still. Probably not a very good one, but I mean, Drew Lock started some NFL games, so,
never know.
He might be better than Russell Wilson right now, to be honest. I mean, like, Russell hasn't had a game like this.
No.
Russell Wilson hasn't moved the ball this year.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong.
I mean, obviously, I'm kidding. I'd rather have Russell Wilson all the time. But, just saying. But the Saints, you know, this was the first time this season where I felt like the offense had an identity. They ran the ball. Andy Dalton, you know, he hit those medium routes over the middle. He's hitting Olave in stride. Olave had a couple crucial drops that would have, you know, maybe changed the complexion of the game. He may have went down and tied the game had he not had some drops. But I think Andy Dalton has to stay the starter, to be honest. They actually moved the ball with him. I don't think they want Jameis to... You let Jameis play the way Jameis wants to play, you can absolutely move the ball. It's just a 50-50 shot whether it's coming the other way or not. Jameis is going to move the ball.
He's going to move the ball, but was he out for injury, or did they
He practiced. Maybe he starts next week. Maybe they wanted to hold him out one more week. But it looks like they're going to let Dalton do... I mean, they're not going anywhere. You know what I mean? They don't even own their own first. It's going to Philly. So, I mean, there's not a lot of incentive in trying to...
That's what I was wondering, because, honestly, in this division right now, they can still compete. They can compete for a wild card. I can definitely see it. They face Carolina one more time. They face Atlanta one more time. And I want to say they lost to Carolina. They beat Atlanta. I don't think they played Tampa yet. Or they might have lost to Tampa. I can't remember.
Oh, I think they lost to Tampa.
Yeah, they lost to Tampa. But they can get three more wins in the division. We know how the Saints play Tampa. They play them tough every time. So I think, like you said, not owning your first-round pick, you got to go with a guy who's gives you a chance to get in that wild card spot, in my opinion.
I think Dalton is just a safer option for them if they want to run the offense this way, especially if you want to get Taysom Hill involved a lot. You might as well have Andy Dalton out there because, to me, it defeats the whole purpose of having Jameis Winston at quarterback if you're going to bring Taysom Hill in once every drive.
Yeah.
Jameis is, listen, we know what Jameis is. He's going to go out there. He's going to sling the rock. He's going to move the ball downfield. And you're going to live with the interceptions. But if Andy Dalton is willing to be aggressive downfield like he was on Thursday, stick with Dalton. Because two of those picks are not on him. One of the pick sixes is on him, but one of them is also not. It went off of Callaway's hands. Could be looking at a completely different game if one of those doesn't, you know, if Marquez Callaway catches that ball.
A lot of butterfingers in this game.
Absolutely.
It's getting to be Halloween time. I mean, the butterfingers are coming out early. But Arizona's side, I'd say it was a solid game from Kyler Murray. He did what he needed to do. You know, 20 for 29, 204 yards, one touchdown, 7 yards a throw for average. That's all he needed him to do in this game, really. DeAndre Hopkins came back, first game back from suspension. 10 for 103. 14 targets. I mean, Hollywood goes down. This offense could look a lot different, in my opinion. They brought in Robbie Anderson. He didn't do much as usual. He's Robbie Anderson. He never does much.
Well, I mean, he didn't play much.
No, I know, but still, I mean, I don't know how much impact he's going to have on this Cardinals team.
I agree. Once you get Marquise Brown back in a month or, you know, month and a half. He's not, they play the same role and Marquise Brown is a million times better at it. And then you're not going to have Robbie Anderson take the short work away from Rondale Moore because that's the only thing y'all think he can do, apparently. So, and then you got Zach Ertz there as well. So,
I'm glad you brought up Rondale Moore because I know he kind of had a quiet game tonight, but I think as he's going to be the number two option in the passing game, I think he's going to do really well. With now DeAndre Hopkins back. And, you know, James Conner was out. Eno Benjamin had a solid night. 12 for 92, one touchdown. He did what you needed him to do. But like you said, the two pick sixes. Isaiah Simmons got the first one, and then Marco Wilson got the other one. That's the only reason why they win this game, in my opinion, the two pick sixes.
Yeah, Kyler didn't have to do a whole lot. Yeah. But it was good to see Arizona's offense finally do what they defense is finally do what they're supposed to do. You know, this is a team that Vance Joseph, they want to drop a bunch of people into coverage and you don't know who's coming and who's not. And, you know, they want you to figure out, they got a bunch of athletes on that defense. They're very fast. They want quarterbacks to have a tough time figuring out who's blitzing, who's not, who's dropping into coverage, who has what alignment. And it finally looked like that. And they still gave up 34 points, which is, you know, rough. But finally, they get some turnovers. But, you know, you luck into them. But sometimes it's what you need to get the defense going. So it was good to see that for Arizona. And honestly, D-Hop looked like D-Hop.
Yeah.
I mean, he caught everything for the most part. The timing got back in the second half with him and Murray. So they get Brown back. There's no reason that offense should be bad. And I'm going to be honest, Keontae Ingram looked very good in this game. I thought he looked amazing. I think him and Inyo Benjamin might be better to have that tandem than James Conner. I'm going to be honest. I think they're both better pass catchers than James Conner. And I think they are both more explosive runners. I don't see why James Conner should see the field again.
Personally, you know where I stand with James Conner. Absolutely. I'm not the biggest James Conner fan. In my opinion, is he terrible? No, not at all. Is he great? Of course not. He's average in my opinion. He does everything average. And he runs sideways. I've never seen this man run straight for a first down. It's always sideways. I don't get it. I don't know why he does it. It ain't going to work. I know you had like 14 touchdowns last year, but it ain't going to happen, big fella. You got to change something up.
Yeah, but, man, they have a ton of weapons on this offense. You got Zach Ertz. You got Hopkins. You got Brown when he comes back. Robbie Anderson for the situation when you go four wide. Rondell Moore. Trey McBride, the backup tight end, is pretty good. Enyo Benjamin. Keyontae Ingram. There's no reason this team should not be in the playoffs. And honestly, with Cliff Kingsbury coaching, are they even going to be better than the Rams? And the Rams have struggled. Are they better than the Niners? And the Niners haven't, you know, they've been up and down this season. We just added Christian McCaffrey. Like, I feel like Arizona, on paper, has the second best offense in the NFC West. I'm biased, obviously. I like the 49ers offense better because I like Kyle Shanahan better. But they won't do anything with it.
No, I'm glad you brought up everyone in the division besides Seattle.
Seattle's playing really well as well.
Yeah. I mean, can they still compete in this division now that McCaffrey's been traded to the Niners?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't think Christian McCaffrey shifts the power paradigm enough to say that they can't. I think all the NFC West teams are good. I mean, obviously, I think Seattle's probably pretenders, but, I mean, Geno's playing. He hasn't shown me anything to say that he's just going to fall off. You know what I mean? So, and if their offensive line is legit and the defense plays as well as it has, especially Tyreek Woolen, you know, shout out to him. He's getting picks all the time now. Like, is Arizona even going to finish above last? If Geno stays on his pace.
That's the thing. I think it's very tricky because I think Niners have the best shot right now to win the division. But between the Rams, Arizona, and Seattle, I could see them all finishing last in this division. I really can.
I could even see, I mean, as much as I hate to admit it, I could see San Francisco finishing last as well if things don't break our way. It just feels like all the teams are the same. They're all 3-3. I know the Cardinals are 3-4. It's an open division. It's wide open.
It's going to be very interesting because we've said for a couple of years now, the NFC West is one of the tightest divisions in football usually. Usually the teams are a little better, more than 500. But now it's still shifted where they're all around 500 right now.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested to see how this division plays out in the next coming weeks.
I think it would be easily, and we'll see, because the 49ers are getting healthy finally. So we'll see what our team looks like at full strength. But I think it should have been Rams, 49ers, Cardinals, Seattle. I think that would have been everyone's. I think now it's 49ers, everybody else. Because honestly, the Rams' issues aren't fixable. Not easily. They don't have an offensive line. That is massive, and Sean McVay has not been able to figure it out yet. And their defense, for how vaunted and just highly rated it is, haven't really been difference makers this year. You know, that defense, they're going to have to win them games. I'm going to need Aaron Donald to become Aaron Donald, playoff Aaron Donald, for the rest of the season. Jalen Ramsey has to stop getting burned. He has to go back to being the number one corner in the NFL.
He hasn't looked like that at all.
No, he hasn't. That defense is going to have to step up for them to still be the best team in the division. And there's no reason they shouldn't be, right? But the offensive line is killing them right now. And Sean McVay can't figure out a run game, and their offense is Cooper Kupp and nobody else.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into the Rams a little bit more when are they on bye this week?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll talk maybe a little bit more about them at the end. But this Rams team, I think it's in shambles right now. Yeah, no offensive line. Stafford looks terrible with no offensive line. You sign Allen Robinson. He's not doing anything at all. It's like you're not even trying to work him into the playbook. Cam Akers might be gone. You know, he's left the team right now. They're working a trade package for him. There's no run game, even with Henderson back there.
Absolutely none.
And I think Henderson has done well in his time in L.A., but like it all goes back to the offensive line. The offensive line can't run block, and they can't pass block. They're traffic cones out there. That's literally what they are.
They're going to have to figure it out. And the defense is just – they're going to have to be elite. They have to be elite for them to weather the storm. And, you know, the Cardinals have gotten lucky. Because if the Rams and Niners had gotten off to the starts that people thought they were going to get off to, the Cardinals wouldn't have a chance to come back in this
division. Not at all.
And they don't, you know, they still have a chance to win the division. So it's a tight division.
It is. And then, you know, we double XP weekend's going to be coming up soon with a new game coming out. So we'll see how Kyler plays once that happens. But before we move on from Thursday Night Football, anything else you want to add?
No. Shout out to Philadelphia Eagles fans. You guys are going to have another top five pick. Congratulations.
All right. So we are in week 7 now. And Jordan, I'll have you take it away. But before you do announce the picks, I think we got to put out a formal apology for last week. Besides Adam, Adam did really well. If you guys listen, Adam went 8-5, right?
Yeah.
He went 8-5. We got to pull a Phoenix Suns after they got blown out in the playoffs. We got to put out a formal apology. If you listened to our picks and decided you wanted to gamble on our picks, we're sorry. Not the best week, but we'll get them. We'll get them this time. Jordan.
Yeah,
just,
I mean,
yeah,
it was a rough week.
We're on to Cincinnati.
I went 7-6 last week. No one believed me. I called the Pittsburgh shocker against Tampa Bay. They won. I was the only person that picked them. I went 7-6. My overall record is 34-24. Tommy, you went 6-7. But you're 35-23, still one ahead of me. And then Adam, he's not here today. I'm going to get his picks. Don't worry. We'll know what his record is after this week, even though he's not picking on the podcast today. He went 8-5. His record is 15-13. He had a phenomenal week. And now we're on to Cincinnati, like you said. We're on to week 7, Tommy. We're putting last week in the past. I'm finally having a good week. I will not be swayed by your opinions and your mean looks you give me.
I don't give you mean looks.
First and foremost, I'm not picking the Lions. I'm out. I'm out on Dan Campbell. I can't do it anymore. He's breaking my heart too many times.
Not this season, at least. Maybe next season. But I'm starting it off Atlanta versus Cincinnati.
Give me the Bengals. They're figuring it out. They got to keep the ball rolling. They finally didn't run the ball last week, and they showed that their offense can move the ball when they don't run the ball. So let's keep doing that.
They went in the Superdome. Joe Burrow's home.
Absolutely.
And they balled out. But Atlanta also balled out. Marcus Mariota, NFC Offensive Player of the Week, coming in hot.
No, the 49ers are playing a JV squad. Let's be honest here. He is playing against the NFCS squad with Fred Warner at linebacker. I'm not.
I'm just saying this could be momentum changing.
No, I'm not impressed.
You never know. But Burrow, like you said, they're letting him pass the ball a little bit more. He's 12 touchdowns, 5 interceptions on the year, around 1,600 yards. Jamar Chase is doing his thing, 39 catches, 475 yards, 4 touchdowns. I'm also going Cincinnati, even though Atlanta put up an amazing performance the past couple
they did.
Weeks.
They did.
And then that leaves us Detroit versus Dallas.
I told you, I'm not picking. Listen, Dan. Listen to me, Dan. Daniel. Please keep this game close. And please play DeAndre Swift more than 4 snaps, because I know you're gonna make me start him in fantasy. You're gonna say he's playing, he's gonna get 4 snaps, and I'm gonna lose because of it. So please play him or sit him if he's not healthy enough to get a full load. But listen, Dan, you've broke my heart too many times. You've broke my heart too many times. You've cost me too many picks. I'm going with the Cowboys. Dak's coming back. He can't be worse than Cooper Rush.
I mean, Detroit, we saw what happened against the New England defense. We got skunked. I can definitely see Dallas doing the same thing. That Dallas pass rush is no joke. The run game.
I love the hog mollies in Detroit, but you're right. I love them. The big boys are doing their thing, but
the run defense is a little iffy, I will say. I mean, Miles Sanders had a decent game last week against him. Really, like you said, Dak is back in this one. I didn't think Cooper Rush did terrible in that time. I actually thought he did great. He just had a couple bad bounces against Philly. You know, a couple of those interceptions were tipped. One or two of them were literally right to the defenders.
Yeah.
But for his time in those five games, he did what he needed to do. Yep. Honestly, when Dak went out, you're like, oh, this Dallas team, their season's over.
Yep.
Cooper Rush kept him in it. Zeke's coming along now. I thought Zeke had an amazing game against Philly. He broke off a couple long runs when Pollard looked a little bit inconsistent. I think Zeke can get it going again against Detroit. You know, he's got 94 carries, 386 yards, two tutties on the year. CeeDee Lamb is basically, he just has to catch the ball. That's all he needs to do.
Please.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know who's going to be on him in the Detroit secondary. But either way, no one's going to, in my opinion, no one can keep up with him if he is able to catch the ball. He could have a field day in this game. Michael Gallup's back. He has a good connection with Dak. Expect some more targets his way, I feel like, in this game. I got Dallas. They're coming off the loss. They're at home. There's no reason why they shouldn't win this game. But it's also Dallas, so they'll probably lose this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is this not a Thanksgiving game? Detroit Cowboys? I feel like this is always a Thanksgiving game. Lions Cowboys? This not?
No, they each play on Thanksgiving, though.
I know, but like, come on. Like, let's have both of them play each other one time.
That'd be weird. That'd be interesting.
It would, yeah. Let a couple other teams get on there, you know?
Like, well, they are now. They are. They got the the Sunday night game. It's usually New Orleans on the Sunday night game, but... we both got Dallas winning this one, right?
Yep.
And then we got the Indianapolis Colts versus the Tennessee Titans. Man, what a barn burner.
Matt Ryan threw the ball 57 times last week. His arm is sore. Give me the Titans.
That's it? You don't want anything else? That's all you need to see?
I think Tennessee can beat them, and I think Matt Ryan outplayed expectations for the last time in his career. So I think we're right back to Matt Ryan being bad this week.
I'm going Colts in this one. I saw, you know, they got the film out for the Titans now. They know what they need to do. It's like they lost the first time in Jacksonville. They saw the film. They improved. They
should have lost to Jacksonville.
But a win's a win.
But they didn't. Yeah, I know.
A win's a win.
I agree.
Michael Pittman was way more involved in this game. All they got to do is do the same thing. That's all they need. And Jonathan Taylor's back in this one. I mean, it's possible. The film's out there. Matty Ice, just don't blow the game up and you're fine. I've seen Ryan Tannehill play quarterback for many years. Just don't look like him again. Never. Please.
Fair.
Indianapolis is praying. Derrick Henry will probably have a field day. I think Leonard is questionable right now. That's a defensive anchor for this Colts team. Gilmore, he's not going to tackle him. I've seen Gilmore try to tackle Derrick Henry. It's not pretty. It's either Derrick Henry's going to have a big game, Titans win, or Colts are going to game manage their way to another divisional victory, and I think that's going to happen.
And it never comes easy in the AFC South.
Never.
It never comes easy.
For any team.
No.
It's not just one. It's all of them. And now we got, the Green Bay Packers heading to Washington to face the Commanders.
Aaron Rodgers this week said that he wanted the offense simplified and that Aaron Jones needs more touches. What that tells me is he hates A.J. Dillon. He wants Aaron Jones to be the guy. He doesn't want to, you know, move these running backs in and out. He wants the offense simplified. Matt LaFleur said he doesn't know what that means. I thought it was pretty simple. You're not trying to get the other wide receivers involved. You're giving Randall Cobb 10 targets. You're giving Alan Lazard 9 targets. I mean, you're not really trying to build chemistry with Christian Watson. He's getting like one jet sweep a game and a target, and then Romeo Doubs is getting like four a game. Like, Aaron, come on now. What is complicated about this offense? I mean, it might be slightly more complicated because now you can't give Devontae Adams 25 targets a game. But you knew that coming into the season, buddy. Like, you knew what was going to happen. And you got David Bakhtiari back. There's really no excuse for you guys to be as shit as you are. But you guys are awful. Give me the Washington Commanders. Taylor Heinicke is going to come in. He's going to rally the troops like he did last year. And they're going to win this game. It's going to be a disgusting game. A game that no one wants to watch. It's going to be a boring game. But I'll take the Commanders in an upset.
Wow. Oh, wow. I was not expecting that. I'm shell-shocked.
Aaron Rodgers wants. I don't know.
Neither do I. What do you mean by simplify, Aaron? Huh? I mean, I don't, it's as simple as you get. You either throw to Lazard or Cobb.
Yeah. Or hand the ball off.
Yeah. I mean, this is not the Aaron Rodgers we once saw. Nope. This is an imposter.
And I think the Commanders are getting disrespected here. You know, they've kept all the games that they've played pretty much like fairly close, and they're 4.5-point underdogs at home. That doesn't sit right with me. I think that's kind of a sham. And I think the Commanders defense can keep Aaron Rodgers in check because he's not playing at an MVP level. Now, if Devontae Adams was on the field in this game, I would take the Packers easily. But he seems lost without Devontae.
We knew going into the year that numbers would drop. But, I mean, this is sad. I mean, Aaron, did you just rely on Devontae for the past, 4 years? Are you a fraud? What is going on? I heard for years, oh, he's the greatest quarterback ever. Greatest quarterback ever ain't going to play like this. He ain't going to be playing like this, I'll tell you that. He's not playing like that. But I'm still going Green Bay in this one, even though I've just slandered Aaron Rodgers. But DJ Moore to Green Bay, does it happen?
No. Okay. No, because that would bring me too much happiness. I would be over the moon, and life can't allow that.
They got to make a move for a receiver at the deadline. They just have to.
Yeah, they're going to sign Will Fuller. Congratulations.
Okay. I know there's talks of OBJ going there. Does it help him that much?
He's not playing until December.
Okay. I just wanted the opinion. I'm sorry. But Chase Claypool, another name linked to them.
That would help. But Aaron Rodgers doesn't trust him. See, you have to understand, yeah. When you trade for a receiver, it takes 6 months for Aaron Rodgers to start getting him the ball with any type of volume. So, what does trading for a receiver do? I honestly respect the ownership for realizing that. You know, why give Aaron a receiver that he's not going to use?
I don't know, Max. I don't know. But, yeah, this whole organization's right now a mess, in my opinion. It's just Aaron Rodgers is just – it's like the Joker in The Dark Knight Rises when he's walking out of the hospital, hitting the button. That's what he did right now in Green Bay. That's really what he did. But Green Bay winning, you got Washington winning. Well, it'll be interesting to see. But I do want to talk about – Brian Robinson is taking over that starting role and doing an amazing job for Washington. Antonio Gibson, go catch some punts. You're done now. Anything else?
I don't know why he's not the passing down back. I mean, he played receiver in college. I don't – why is Jaden McKissick still on this roster?
Because they paid him. They paid
him. Yes, I know. But even as dysfunctional as they are, they're not as dysfunctional as Green Bay.
That's true. Now – I don't even Tampa Bay versus Carolina.
Tampa Bay. Yeah. All right. Tampa Bay. Move on.
I mean, what else is there to say?
If Carolina wins this game, it would be shocking. They listen, Tommy. They're in Carolina and they are 13-point underdogs at home. At home.
Home
Vegas said you have no chance to win this game at home.
Tom Brady's
no shot to win. You shouldn't show up at home. What? That is depressing. PJ Walker is going to start. He's bad at football. They just got rid of Christian McCaffrey, so he's going to have to throw the ball to DJ Moore. And when they target DJ Moore, bad things happen this season. I'm going to be honest. Bad things have been happening all year when they target him. I would not be shocked if they get 40 zipped. I wouldn't be shocked.
Over under 300 yards for Brady in this one.
I think they're going to, I don't know. I'll take the over.
Take the over?
Why not?
Life's too short to bet the under.
Yep.
Now that that's out of the way, the New York Giants versus Jacksonville Jaguars.
Brian DeBoe, I'll give you your flowers. You've done it. You've broken me. You've somehow taken this roster of mismanaged talent and misfits with no receivers and won. And you're 5-1. I'm broken. They just keep winning. They're Al Davis. Just win, baby. They're just winning. It's not pretty. They don't really even know how they're doing it, but they're doing it. And then on the other side, I've got Jacksonville, who I love. But this seems like they figure out ways to lose. I don't know. I want to take Jacksonville. Everything in my heart says Jacksonville should win this game.
Go over
but
your
just
heart.
Like last week, I thought Baltimore was going to easily beat the Giants. And then Lamar handed them the game.
Oh, don't even get me started. I was watching that. I'm like, Lamar, what are you doing? Just throw the ball out of bounds.
I'll take Jacksonville because they're at home. But it beats me. If the Giants win this game, it would be the least shocking thing that happens.
As long as Daniel Jones is quarterback, there's not many games I'm picking the Giants to win. All right. This team's an off-brand 49ers. That's really what this Giants team is. Their defense is carrying them to wins. Daniel Jones is giving the ball to Barkley. That's about it. I mean, he's spreading the ball kind of to these no-name receivers. But I've seen Daniel Jones play. He's awful. He's not good. If this team had someone other than Daniel Jones, they might be one of the top 10 teams in the NFL right now, in my opinion. If they had a top 20 to 15 QB. But they have Daniel That's Jones. Fair. So it's not going to happen. I don't see right now they're at an all-time high in years. Can they keep it up? I don't know. I don't. Has it been impressive? Yes. I don't know what's going on there in New York. I don't know what's going on in New York football. What is happening?
I thought they were going to win 4 games. They've already beat that. They won 5.
I don't get it.
Way to probably winning 6 now that I picked against them again.
So you're saying I should go Giants in this one?
I don't know.
I like Dougie P, Sunshine, James Robinson, and Travis Etienne too much. I just love them all.
I like Lamar too, and Mark Andrews, and the Giants won that game somehow.
Give me Jacksonville. Give me Jacksonville.
All right.
I'm betting against them every game. I don't care, unless it's like they face like a team like Chicago again of some of that caliber. This should be an interesting matchup, in my opinion. Cleveland versus Baltimore.
I think this game has shootout written all over it. Both of these defenses are struggling. Lamar just had one of the worst quarterbacking performances I've ever seen in a fourth quarter. And I think he's going to come out and he's going to right that wrong and he's going to carry his team to a victory against the Cleveland Browns. But I don't think it's going to be an easy one because I think their defense is not going to be able to hold Cleveland.
I mean, Chubb, last week is the only week he's been shut down, and he still looks solid.
Yep.
No one's guarding Coop. No one is guarding Amari Cooper on this team. I just don't see it happening. Jacoby Brissett, second best game manager, I guess, behind Jimmy G. Lamar is doing everything in this offense. Over 1,200 yards, 13 touchdowns in the air, 6 interceptions, 2 touchdowns on the ground, 461 rushing yards. Mandrews is questionable. Bateman is questionable. If those two are out, give me Cleveland. I think Cleveland
That's
takes
fair.
It.
Yeah.
If Cleveland, if Baltimore plays with those injuries, Cleveland's got this. If those guys are in, give me Baltimore. So if they aren't playing, give me Cleveland. If the playmakers are in, give me the birds. This Baltimore team is I don't know what's going on. This is weird.
This is looking rough.
Yeah. I mean, they look dominant the first couple weeks. Lamar looked like, man, He's gonna do great things this year. I mean, he's still doing great things.
And to be fair, yeah, Lamar hasn't played bad. I mean, last week was bad. But like the game, he had a decent game until he just decided to throw it into double coverage to Patrick Ricard for some reason. But I mean, everything else was okay in the fumble. But
it's just weird. I didn't expect this out of this team. That's what I think got me. Because we've seen terrible secondaries before and teams be good still.
Yeah.
Somehow Baltimore's regressed in every other area. I just don't know why. But we'll go back to some New York football. The New York Jets are heading to Denver to take on the Broncos.
That scripted drive last week looked like they finally figured it out, Tommy. Those 10 plays, Russell Wilson was on it. It looked like they figured it out. And it all came crashing down so very quickly. So very suddenly. They went right back to being bad. Now, this game is not going to be a fun watch. Both of these teams are very defensive-minded. The only difference is Nathaniel Hackett lets Russell Wilson throw the ball. And Robert Saleh doesn't let Zach Wilson throw the ball. So the Wilsons and their defenses will be battling it out for a 13-10 victory, probably. And I'm going to take Denver only because they're at home. Only because they're at home. And I don't think they can continue to lose the way they have lost.
Yeah, I mean, Denver looked good to start out the game Monday night.
Very good.
This coaching staff is awful. Hackett is – I'd get rid of him after this year. I really would. I've seen what I needed to see. He has talent. I mean, Russell Wilson has not looked like himself, but I can't pin all the blame on him. Hackett is a sous chef, and he's not giving the right food to Russ to cook up. He's giving him NyQuil. Tell him, dump all this NyQuil on the chicken. We're good. No.
I mean, it is malpractice put Latavius Murray in that game for as much as they did. Because, Tommy, I hate bringing up fantasy football when talking about actual football. But I was Javonte Williams' owner, okay? And I watched Melvin Gordon split carries with Javonte. 50-50. Javonte, on one knee, is probably a better running back than what they have on their roster. Why was he good enough to split carries with Javonte Williams 50-50? And I know the fumbling was an issue. I understand that. But why was he good enough talent-wise to split 50-50 and then not see the field with Latavius Murray on the roster? Just explain
it
to me.
Like, it don't make
like
sense.
I'm five. Nathaniel, what are we doing? What is the offensive game plan? It doesn't seem like you have an identity at all. And Jerry Jeudy, my brother in Christ, stop dropping open passes, please. The contested ones, I get it. All right? Maybe you're not a contested catch receiver. But the open ones, we got to fix the drop issues, man.
Blame it all on Russ with those drops.
We got to.
I know Jeudy and Gordon have been giving looks at Russ throughout the game. Melvin Gordon, I get why he'd be giving them looks. But Judy, you got to help him out a little bit. You got to put some of that blame on you as well with those drops.
It wouldn't, you know, I feel like any other quarterback, we would, you know, we'd be trashing this team. But it's the fact that Russell Wilson's personality is so obviously manufactured and fake. Yeah. And it's a media-driven personality that just makes it hard to digest. I'm not even a Denver fan. I can only imagine how Denver fans feel about him. It's just, like, he comes out and he has the hamstring injury and he's like, I'm a quick healer. It must be Wolverine blood or something. Like, just, I don't care.
He's dangerous.
I'm tired of you talking about how unlimited and how special you are. Show me.
Well, maybe he'll show us this game. Who knows?
Yes, give me Denver. I do think they're gonna have to earn it because the Jets defense is phenomenal. Bob Sala's got them boys playing.
I'm also going Denver in this one just because, you know, these are two of the best defenses in the NFL, top 10 for sure, top 10 defenses. I think Denver can get to Zach Wilson. This is probably the best defense he's faced so far. So I think Zach Wilson could be in a tough game for the throws that he's asked to make. Breece Hall, I mean, he's just looked amazing. It doesn't matter the defense, in my opinion. They'll find ways to get him in the game.
Yep.
And being at home, I think this will help, unlike for Carolina. I'm going Denver. And then we have Houston versus Vegas.
Vegas should continue to lean on Josh Jacobs. That seems to be their offensive game plan. Get him the ball as many times as possible. Let him do his thing. Josh McDaniels did a great job at that. Derek Carr has to stop playing Devontae Adams football, okay? I'm not saying you get him 15 targets, that's fine. We have to get the other pieces involved. We have to. This was not a winning formula for Aaron Rodgers, okay? And I promise you, Derek, it is not going to be a winning formula for you. Devontae Adams is a game changer. He's one of the best receivers in the league, top three, top two. He might still be the best. Get Hunter Renfrow the ball. Get Mac Hollins the ball. Get Josh Jacobs some checkdowns. Get Darren Waller or Foster Moreau, whichever one of them starts this week. Get them the ball. All right? We got to spread the ball around when we're passing it. Devontae can still get his targets. He should still touch the ball 15 times. Everyone else has to be involved. Lean on Josh Jacobs. Spread the ball around. The Raiders can fix all of their issues. With that being said, this defense is still Swiss cheese. They still struggle against the run. That is the only thing the Texans have been good at. I'm going to take the Raiders still, because I don't think they're going to lose at home to Texans, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think.
I think this is the perfect game to get back on track. To come off a bye absolutely. Week, Devontae Adams got some anger out after the Kansas City game.
He's a felon now.
He's zenful now. He's won with his inner peace. Could be in for a big game. Because no one's stopping him in that secondary.
No.
I mean, he could run wild. But Derek Carr's got to give him the ball. But like you said, Hunter Renfrow, amazing route runner. Just such a hard worker on and off
the field. Such a hard worker.
He got to go. He got to get throws his way. Darren Waller, he's hurt, like you said. He might not play. But either way, I want to see less targets to Mac Hollins and more to Hunter Renfrow. Get that man involved. He's a needle mover. He's a first down getter. He does what you need
to do. He absolutely is a first down. Yes, absolutely.
I don't see the Raiders losing this game. I just can't see it right now.
Yeah.
Not after the bye week and getting right. So I'm going Raiders. This game I think could be interesting as well. Seattle versus the Chargers.
Seattle's defense is bad. It's played better than I expected, but bad is still bad. But their offense has been phenomenal. Kenneth Walker looks like he is going to be really electric. The Chargers still can't stop the run. and Geno has been hitting the passes he needs to hit, and he's been dropping some dimes, and Tyler Lockett, I know he's questionable, he should play, so they should have a full, healthy offense. I think this is going to be a shootout, Tommy. I think it's going to be a shootout. The Chargers are at home, but what does that even mean? It's not really a home game for them.
Seattle's not that far.
I can't believe I'm saying this because the Chargers should run all over them, but I'm going to take Seattle. I feel like this is the game that the Chargers lose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is the game they come in, they go up, you know, 14, 17, 20 quick, and then they just let Seattle chip it down. And chip it down. And Brandon Staley goes for it on 4th and 1 at the 48, on his own 48. And then Seattle gets a quick score off of that. Seattle.
You know, I'm glad we're on the same page. Because I've seen what I need to see out of the Seattle team. They've shown me that they'll fight. They'll fight all the way. Geno Smith has played great. You know, Penny went down. Walker's looked great. Lockett. I'm shocked he's putting up the numbers he has so far. I mean, I thought there'd be a little regression. He's looking like his usual self.
Yeah.
For me, this Chargers team, the players look great. Eckler looks great again. Mike Williams looks like Mike Williams. He's done exactly what he's done before. Keenan Allen's hurt. I get that. But Herbert looks good. But the coaching's awful. The coaching is terrible. And then you bring in J.C. Jackson, you pay him millions and millions, and you bench him against division rivals. That decision just does not make sense to me. But I think like you said, Seattle, I think, is going to grind this one out. I get that their defense hasn't looked great, but do they really have to play that great against this Chargers team?
I mean. They're gonna want a shootout, but they can do that.
Yeah,
which is what I think has shocked a lot of people. And I think if the Chargers could stop the run, I'd take them. But I don't think they're gonna be able to get Seattle off of running the ball. And I think that's gonna just make Geno comfortable enough to make the passes that he's been making all season.
I think Geno could have a really good game. I mean. This shocked me. This came out of left field, that the numbers he's put up this year.
Absolutely. I mean, no one thought Geno would be playing this well.
And then we got America's Game of the Week. Kansas City taking on the 49ers. Super Bowl rematch.
This is in Santa Clara. This is in Levi's. We're wearing the 94 Reds. We got the 2012 squad in the building for this game. We're getting healthy. We should have a lot of our defense back outside of Eric Armstead, probably, and Javon Kinlaw. Jimmy Ward may play this game. Our offensive line is getting healthy. The 49ers should be near full strength, missing a couple pieces, and adding Christian McCaffrey to our red zone packages. But it's Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes is on that other sideline. I've seen it a million times. I've seen us play elite quarterbacks a million times. We can keep the game close. We can be leading into the fourth quarter. It only takes one drive for those guys. And the game changes. But with that being said, I'm not picking against the 49ers this week. I can't. I'm too happy. I'm too excited. Give me the 49ers. But I won't be shocked if we lose. But I'm going to pick the 49ers to win a close one.
I was going back and forth in between this pick for a while. They're both coming off losses that... games they probably should have won. It's very hit or miss. I feel like I don't know, but Mahomes has been on one this year. But the Niners don't have to worry about Tyreek Hill in this one or Sammy Watkins. Richard Sherman's no longer on the field.
A lot of
positives for the Niners in this one compared to last time. I just don't think I can bet against Patrick Mahomes. I just don't.
And I respect that.
I don't think I can do it. Because Patrick Mahomes has looked amazing this year. I have to say.
He's the MVP frontrunner.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of Mahomes and Kelce as personality-wise. But, man, they are playing great this season. I'm taking Kansas City.
I respect that.
And then we'll keep these last two pretty quick. Pittsburgh versus Miami.
Oh, God. Kenny Pickett should play this game, so that gives Steelers fans a reason to, I guess, be happy.
Watch the game.
Tua is finally back on the field. I hope he's okay. I hope, you know, everything's going to be fine with him. So this should give Miami's offense a big bump. And the Steelers still can't stop nobody, and this game is in Miami. I'm going to take the Dolphins, but I don't think it'll be convincing.
I'm going Miami. I think I just don't think Pittsburgh can stop them. I really don't. Tua, I don't think he's going to do much. You're going to simplify a lot of things, I feel like, since it's going to be his first game back. Tyreek Hill is on pace to break the record for receiving yards. I don't know if he'll get it. I mean, that's a huge feat if he does. But in Miami, Tua coming back, first game back. It's one of those games where the script's going their way, so I'm going to go Miami. And then we're going to finish it off, Chicago versus New England Monday night.
America loses game of the week, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry that it had to happen on a Monday night. There is absolutely no chance in hell that the Chicago Bears will go into Gillette and even put up a fight. They have, if there was ever a time for them to not be a spread on a game and to just say New England wins, it would be this game. You are going to bring a quarterback who's pretty much still a rookie. Justin Fields hasn't developed that much, who you don't trust to throw the ball. You're going to make your offense one-dimensional as hell. You're going to go play Bill Belichick in Gillette on a Monday night. And you're going to tell me they're only 7.5-point favorites. They just destroyed the Lions. And the Lions' offense is a million times better than the Chicago Bears' offense. If the Chicago Bears get a field goal, I will be shocked. New England is going to win this game so convincingly that it's going to be a snooze fest. It's going to be a snooze fest.
I like the confidence in my team. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm also going New England in this one. Mac is back, probably. I think they're going to let him play. Either way, I don't think it matters.
No, it does. You guys could put Damian Harris at quarterback in this game.
I'd love to see that. I think it would be amazing. Ramondre looked good against Cleveland, broke out that big run. Jacoby Myers has looked solid this season. They're still missing that key wide receiver piece. I wish they went out and got a bigger name. Tyquan Thornton had a great game against Cleveland, though, last week. I believe he had 2 touchdowns. He looked fast, and that's what they need. I'm a big Kendrick Bourne fan, but it sounds like he might get traded. I'd love to keep him and get rid of Aguilar. Aguilar is awful. Devonta Parker's been hit or miss, but don't matter. I mean, Stevenson and Harris, I love that duo. Either way, they're going to get it done. They're going to get it done on the ground, but I don't think there's a QB battle here. I know a lot of people have been saying, you know, Bailey has looked great the first two games. But I don't think you should give up on Mac that quick. I really don't. Mac could have also looked that great in those games.
Yeah, I agree. But I think it's a media driven narrative because Bailey has looked as good as he has, and his last name is very fun to say.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But New England is putting together these good games to go 9-8 on the year.
Let me tell you, this is how confident I am. If Matt Eberflus comes into this game and covers the spread, he should win Coach of the Year.
Wow. Coach of the Year?
he should win Coach of the Year for going into Gillette with Justin Fields in this offense and covering the spread. This offense is archaic. They have set football back 50 years with how they play. I would be more interested in watching Mike Ditka run routes at his current age or play quarterback than watching this offense. It is horrendous. Horrendous. It is terrible. It is god awful. It is boring.
Anything else you want to get off your chest?
It is a liability for my eyeballs. I hate it. I'm sorry to all the Bears fans that have to watch this and then somehow find little bits of optimism to keep going.
At least they're not winning games no more.
They've probably won too many. Too many. They're 0-3 away. They're going to be 0-4. They shouldn't even get on the plane. Why? Why go to Gillette and embarrass yourself?
You think it's going
to
be that bad?
Yes. Why go to Gillette and embarrass yourself like this? Why? We already know what Bill Belichick does to rookie quarterbacks. I know Justin Fields isn't a rookie. This is the first time y'all are seeing him, though, right?
Yeah.
He stands no chance. I would have more faith in them running Wildcat and getting points on the board. And I'm a Justin Fields fan. I don't think he's like as terrible as everyone says. He just doesn't have any help. But you already don't trust the guy to throw the ball. So the few passing opportunities he does get, he's got to get it against a Bill Belichick defense? He has no chance. They're going to stop the run. You're going to have to throw the ball. You think they're going to let David Montgomery just go out there and run around and get these hard yards and Khalil Herbert run off of 64? Y'all just held Nick Chubb to 56 yards. Nick Chubb is better than both of them combined. Nick Chubb on one leg is better than both of them combined.
He's got more talent in his left quad than they do combined.
That's what I'm saying. This is why it's America's lose game of the week. It's going to be hilarious for New England fans. This is going to be a comedy show for y'all.
No, it's just going to be false hope. But for
the rest of America, you don't tune in. I'm not going to personally watch this game. Other than like maybe the first quarter, second quarter, maybe the first half, max. There's no reason to. The outcome was decided when they put it on the schedule. On Monday night? Really? This game should start at 7 a.m. so no one has to watch it.
I'm going to watch it.
But you put it on prime time. Justin Fields is going to be crucified by the media. Unfairly, but he's going to be crucified. He's going to be called a bust after this week. He was already getting called a bust. People are going to be asking for whoever the backup is to start.
Who is the backup?
That's
now?
How bad it's. I don't know. It's terrible.
Can I get a final score prediction? I want to know how bad you think it's
going
to be.
A lot to zero. I don't know how many points New England's going to score because I don't know how many pick sixes they're going to get. Because Chicago's going to have to throw the ball. Unless they big brain it up and they just admit defeat now and they just decide to protect Justin Fields' ego. And they just are happy with three and outs every drive. Because they could do that. They could do that. If that's the route they want to take, that's fine. But if they actually plan to come in and try to win this game, like every team should, they're going to have to throw. And throwing has not worked for them this year.
I got to see. Last time, I think they faced a we'll call Fields a rookie, technically. Or a young quarterback going up against Belichick the first time. Was Sam Darnold on Monday night? We saw
he was
that.
Seeing ghost.
Yeah. Four interceptions in that one. More or less.
36-0. No, 33-0 final score.
Okay.
Pitching a shutout. Second shutout.
Okay.
Actually, no, I got more respect. David Montgomery will break off a run or something. 33-3.
Okay. I mean, I hope it goes that way, but I just never know.
I'm sorry I went on this rant. It wasn't worth talking about this game this long, but I just
I enjoyed it.
All this prime time games.
A little bit.
we finally get a Thursday night game that's good. And then I look at this, and this is the Monday night game? Really? This is what I have to look forward to? A game where Mac Jones will have to pass the ball four times. Four, maximum.
I mean, he passed three times last time on Monday Night Football.
And beat and beat Josh Allen.
It's possible. He could
I'm
only throw
sorry
four.
To Bears fans. I'm sorry. It's not going to be pretty.
But they can watch the Bulls now. Bulls are back.
We are back. That's a discussion for another podcast.
Yeah. Make me sick what they did Wednesday night. Makes me sick. All right. They had no right to do that. I'll leave it at that. I mean, that's all the games we had this week. How are you feeling about your picks?
Phenomenal. Most confident I've ever been. I'm going undefeated.
Never lost.
Never lost.
Never lost. LeVar Ball that. Anything else you want to add before we get out of here?
Don't watch the Monday night game. Just save yourself.
There's a chance. Who knows? It might not be the worst primetime game this week.
Well, Russell Wilson's not on primetime, so you're right.
Maybe, who knows? Maybe the Steelers-Miami game will be a dud. That could be a blowout.
Maybe. It could be. You're right. Not as big of a blowout as the Bears-Patriots game, but a blowout, maybe.
You never know. You never know. But I think that's all we got for today.
Yeah, probably.
That's it. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in for another episode. We hope you guys enjoyed our bamboozlement of our NFL picks this week. That's all we got. Have a good one.
Peace.